Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, after an unplanned two-week hiatus, we have returned.
So, real life here, babies are hard. Why did you not tell me that, dude? Babies are hard. Man.
They require a lot of attention and work, and oftentimes you get about 5 seconds notice before hours of stuff.
Yeah. So sorry about that, guys. It was a sick baby followed by a holiday. So yeah, we're gonna try to be better.
How could we have seen Thanksgiving coming?
Thanksgiving. I mean, no one saw that coming. It never happened.
We couldn't have called that maybe we would have some scheduling conflicts.
No.
Over Thanksgiving.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. Anyway, so yes, we apologize. I apologize. My baby was the sick one, not Jeremy's.
We need to qualify that.
Yeah, I'll say we'll try to do better. We'll try to do better. As long as I use the word try, we're all good, sure. Right?
Yeah, we're totally off the hook.
Okay, cool.
So we have a whole bunch of stuff that Disney announced at, man, was that D23? I can't even remember, man. It's been such a long time. Oh, it's Destination D. We've got a lot of stuff that Disney announced at Destination D that we can talk about, but I wanted to open with this. Claire and I are planning a Disney trip about a year from now, and I went onto the website today and kind of looked through, made the plan. I did seven days at Pop Century with single day park tickets. I included the dining plan in the plan that I made.
So it made you cry a lot, is what you're saying.
Yeah. We're going to wait for free dining and see what the difference is, because the dining plan added like $8,000.
Wait, no.
Not $8,000. Yeah, no.
I was about to say, what dining? Is that the Cristal dining plan?
Sorry, I've been drinking. Yeah, $800. The whole trip doesn't even cost $8,000.
The dining plan quadrupled the cost of our trip.
You get 10 table service meals a day and 8 bottles of champagne per table service meal. It's pretty great. Now, it added about $800 to the trip, so I'm hoping that once free dining comes out, the difference in the room rate will be less than that.
Because whatever other deal they've got going on right now won't be going on then.
Right. So the trip as I booked it, which was the week after Thanksgiving, which is when we always go because there's no one there. And that's usually the week that they do free dining because there's no one there. It came out to $2,900, and that's 6 nights at the Pop Century, which was $2,000, and that included the park tickets, which was single day park tickets for two, no park hoppers. So that was $2,050. So we'll say $2,100 for that, and then adding the dining plan, which I got the one that gives you one table service, one quick service, because we do like to have table service. That added $850, I think. So it was like $2,950 when all was said and done. But what I was talking to you about it, and what you were saying is, as soon as
this was the point where Brad said, we should actually be recording right now and not have this conversation off the air. Yeah.
Once the Skyliners open, the resort prices will go up, which I hadn't thought about really, but I will make sure that we have the trip booked and locked in before that, because I totally agree with you, especially at resorts, or maybe only at resorts where the Skyliner stops. I definitely think the rates are going to go up a lot.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to go up like all over the place, but I also think we'd be crazy to assume that it wasn't going to go up there.
Oh, yeah, because Pop's one of the...
Get in before you can. Well, Pop and what? Art of Animation. Both of those are going to probably see an increase. And plus, you got to get in before the ticket price increase, which is what? It's something beginning of the year, I feel like, is when that usually goes up.
Yeah.
Like, not like January, but February, March-ish, maybe. Somewhere in there. So, yeah, you've got some time. But, yeah, I fully anticipate that those prices will go up. And also, crazy Disney people, us, those of you who are listening, you're a crazy Disney person, too, because you listen to a Disney podcast, and that makes you a little bit more invested than your average person. Crazy Disney people know that that's a thing. I think your average person does not. But once they do know it's a thing, suddenly that resort is going to be the place they're going to want to stay. So not only will it probably cost a little bit more money, I think, but it's also going to be a heck of a lot harder to get into, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And it's already not super easy. If you book far out, yeah, you can definitely get in. But as it starts getting close, it's booked quite a bit, you know?
Booking a year out, and I think I did Saturday to Friday. The Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night stay was $99 a night at Pop Century. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. And I, like I said, I'm really kind of surprised about the way that's going to work out for you. So you also are aware that now you have to like set your start date for your tickets and everything, right?
I don't understand what you mean.
Like don't change your dates, because they've got all that date thing on the ticket stuff to set the price of the tickets. That all started about a little bit, like, you know, that thing that came like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's not based, it's just straight up date based now. And they're all the same.
Doesn't that kind of scare you? Like, it kind of scares me, because I'm like, it's a year in advance. What happened? And I will admit that I have not checked it out fully, but I think it's just that it has to be used during that period, right? So surely you can adjust. I don't know. I get scared when things are more locked in that far in advance, because I don't like to plan that far.
There is absolutely no way, if I make a reservation 9 months in advance and then 6 months in advance, I want to change, you know, one day. I'm not going to go on Undercover Tourist or any of those websites and buy my park tickets separately. I'm going to get it all from Disney. And so if I call Disney, or if I contact a travel agent and I tell them like, hey, we want to change, I'm not worried about that, because Disney is going to do everything. And if there's any kind of date, you know, shenanigans or anything that need to happen, they're going to handle it. And that's one reason why I like to buy everything from them, is because I've got, you know, a paper trail that like I called and changed this, and just like, so my dates should be, you know, changed along with my hotel stay and stuff like that. So I'm not really worried about any of that, because Disney handles everything.
So while we were talking, I was looking it up, and I did find that a 7-day ticket under the new plan, which I guess we totally missed out on. Oh, you know what? This was during baby time. That's why we missed out on this. 7-day park hopper, or a 7-day ticket. Not park hopper, just 7-day ticket, has to be used any 7 days within 10 days beginning on the start date. So you have, basically, you can be 3 days off, and then you better be using that or you will not get your full 7 days.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, I get it, but
it
makes me a little antsy.
I can't imagine how that would affect anybody who didn't live in Florida. Because again, if you're going to make changes to a trip like that, like, I'm not going to.
Yeah, surely it's not until you've actually, that's not when you've put down your deposit. That's when you've actually paid for it.
Right. When you're all paid up and you're locked in, because they let you make changes up to a month in advance, I believe, without penalty. So that's all, I'm sure, fluid until a month in advance. And then you're locked in to your dates. And that's when that hard, you know, start date is. Because I'm not gonna, I mean, it's unlikely that I'm gonna get there on a Saturday, and then come Wednesday say, oh, let's just go home early and we'll come back in a week and finish this, you know, vacation up or whatever. So.
Oh, come on, dude. Everybody does.
And
that.
I even thought like we could just have a resort day, but the difference between a 6-day ticket and a 7-day ticket was like $18.
But see, here's the
like,
thing.
Who cares
you
at that point?
You can, yeah, you pay for the extra day and like you go to the park for lunch or something and then you go do resorts for the, like, and now here's the thing with the date-based tickets. I'm not sure how it works. I know with the old version of the tickets, you know, Nancy and I actually went and didn't pay for as many days. And then at one point we thought, well, you know what? Let's go ahead and go to the park today. So we went to the park and then we just headed over to guest services and we said, hey, can we just add a day onto our ticket? And they let us add a day onto our tickets and we only paid the price difference between, you know, like a 5-day and a 6-day or whatever.
Yeah, which would have been, you know, $30 or $40 for two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm sure
so
they still do that. I mean,
I sure hope they do. It's still more money for them,
yeah,
right?
The only difference is now that the price, one, all the parks are equal. So there is no more like Hollywood Studios costs $89 and Magic Kingdom costs $129 on any day. All the parks cost the same amount of money on whatever day. And then the price is just based on the day, kind of like the hotels are, you know? Where Friday night and Saturday night cost more than Sunday through Thursday night. So I can't imagine that they have changed anything having to do with that kind of stuff, like adding a day. I mean, if you end up adding a Saturday, it's probably going to cost you a little bit more than if you end up adding a Tuesday. But other than that, I don't really see why they would have changed their policies on that at all, because it really doesn't have anything to do with how the pricing changed, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't know. It's interesting. I do know that Undercover Tourist still has the flexible start date tickets where you don't have to say them what date you're going to use.
Well,
saying, buddy,
I'm at the mercy of the airlines at that point.
Yes, yes. Well, and their tickets are like $80 extra for that benefit, yeah. So. Yeah, I would stick with that. So, does that mean is the little one coming with?
No.
Is the little one staying home? What's the plan?
She
there?
Would stay. Okay. There's just no. She would be 2 years old at that point, and there's just not enough benefit. I mean, I don't know that she would even realize what was happening at 2 years old. We just. A couple weeks ago had a conversation, you know, about when we would want to take her again. And I don't know, the earliest we would do is second or third grade is what we're thinking at this point. Let her get to be old enough to, you know, appreciate it and to have some memory of it, but also to actually have characters and, you know, princesses and things like that, that she actually likes.
As opposed to what is this random
thing?
Yeah.
Well, right now she likes the Vampirina theme song. But she's not even a year and a half old, and once the song is over, she pretty much loses interest.
just if you could just play that part on loop, this whole TV show thing, that's...
And we do in the car.
Neither here nor there.
We, on the way to church, a lot of mornings, we just play the Vampirina theme song on loop, and she loves it. She could meet Vampirina, and it'd be a fun picture, but she wouldn't care.
And again, you would then have six more days, so...
We'd have to... tote her around, because she's also not going to be probably a strong enough like walker to not need to be carried or strollered for the whole time.
Dude, I am 36 years old and I am not a strong enough walker to do 7 days at Walt Disney World.
So
yes, she would not be.
Yeah, but no, probably not going to take her. But Claire and I haven't been since 2015. So we're due.
I think you're over.
Can you get us into Club 33?
Yes, yes, I absolutely cannot do that. So, question though.
Yes,
if you're going to be staying at Pop Century, right?
Yes, because Coronado Springs is boring now.
Right, right, and you're going to be staying after the Skyliner's open, right?
Yeah.
And what month of the year are you planning on going?
No, well, it'd be, I think, November 30th to December 6th.
Ah, so see, apparently you're smart, because everybody that I've heard has been talking about how there is no air conditioning on that
in the gondolas.
Yeah,
so they have...
All I did was hear this. I did, again, baby.
Yeah.
Really prevents me from getting in-depth on this stuff like I would like to be. So please, Jeremy, explain to me why the... Because I keep thinking Disney is smart about what they do, so there has to be a reason for no air conditioning, right?
Well, I think the reason for no air conditioning is money, because it would be very...
I was hoping a better reason than that.
Expensive, and also maintenance. Just because having an air conditioning unit in every single one of these Skyliners gondolas is probably, you know, I don't know, a lot.
Why not just string up an AC ductwork, you know, along the entire thing? That's a
just
great
do
thing
the,
to see
have,
in the skyline.
Have old Elon Musk dig tunnels with, you know, the boring company.
There you go.
And we'll just use, Hyperloops to get everywhere.
I like it.
No, they have, what do they have? They have a ventilation system. I believe they have a fan that kind of blows air up or maybe down. Yeah, probably down. But that kind of pulls air through they have vents above the windows that kind of suck air in and then blow down. So you have some circulation because these things have
doors
and windows.
Here's the thing, I've heard of that.
Too.
I've heard of that. It's called a convection oven, my friend.
Yeah, exactly.
It cooks you faster, and it's a drier cook, and you know that you got to watch out because you'll dry on the outside.
It's better than nothing, though. To go,
oh, absolutely.
Because okay, so we went to in 2016. We went to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, with my family, and in Pigeon Forge they have a Ferris wheel that has enclosed gondolas, just like these, where there's a door and the windows don't open. And it was during the summer, and it was pretty muggy. And that gondola got so incredibly foggy, the condensation got all over the windows. By the time we got off of it, we couldn't see anymore. Because there just wasn't any ventilation. So at least with a fan that's circulating air, even though it's hot, they're at least circulating some of the moisture out of there so you don't end up just baking and having condensation all over the windows and just like sweating and baking and gross in there.
See, I don't know why this hasn't been a thing before, but I still totally want to do the gondolas, and I believe I still will do the gondolas, but I would be lying if I didn't say I was a little gun shy at the idea of, the idea of being stuck up in the air without air conditioning, you know, like maybe the bigger thing I should be concerned about is being stuck up in the air, because that's how this thing fails.
Yeah.
And please don't at me. I'm sure there are fail-safe measures to bring all of the gondolas down, and you know there's backup after backup after backup. But lizard brain doesn't think that way. Lizard brain thinks I'm going to be stuck up in the air and I'm going to be cooked because there's no air conditioning.
So that's not the thing you need to be worried about. Is the
oh please yes tell me the other thing I should be worried
how many
about.
People they want to cram into these things. The listed capacity for these gondolas is 8. That's 2 benches on each side that 4 people are supposed to sit on and have 8 total people. And of course, it'd be less if you have an ECV in there, but 8 people they want to fit in these little gondolas.
Do they have some other gondolas other than the one with the picture that you put in the show notes? Because the picture you put in the show notes don't look like no 8-person gondolas.
So that is the picture I put in the show notes is the company that's manufacturing Disney's gondolas, and this is what they were showing off at this amusement park expo. But yeah, that's it. And they want to fit 4 people across, in there.
Like I said, I feel like I don't, I have to know seven other people really, really well to get
eight
people.
And that's a question I have is if it's me and my wife, are they going to try to put us in a gondola with six other people we don't know?
I mean, it sounds like at least they're going to try to put you in with four other people and make them all sit opposite you or something.
It's a weird, you know, I had not even considered that. You know, obviously when you get on a bus, there's 50 people on that bus and you're going to be...
Or a monorail car.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and you're going to be shoulder to shoulder with people you don't know. But a gondola feels more personal, and I guess I just...
A gondola is not big enough.
Yeah.
It's not big enough to put me right next to some other people. It's too intimate.
It doesn't have the mass transit feel that a bus or a monorail does. And so, like, when I read that, I was like, eight people? Really? You're going to have a hard time not touching the person next to you. And especially, you know, like you were saying, with everybody being sweaty. Like, that's not good.
Yeah. Middle of the summer. Yeah. You know, maybe about the time you hit the halfway point, you just start belting out "That's Amore" just to make everybody feel real comfortable.
But yeah, they want to fit eight people in these. Four to six is probably going to be the more realistic amount. Unless everybody weighs 100 pounds, you know.
Yeah, and if you put people opposite me, yeah, I am socially awkward enough that that's not going to be fun for me, but I get it. I just would prefer not to sit next to other people.
And I was just going to say, so the other thing that is kind of the hope of this is that it's such a fast mode of travel that, like, it won't matter. Because you're basically not stopping. If no one in your gondola is getting off at the station you're at or the, you know, whatever, you just move on. Like, they're not going to stop the thing for anything. And so it should be fast. And so if it takes you 5 minutes to get from Hollywood Studios to your resort or whatever, it's like, does it really matter? Is that important? As important as it would be, you know, on a 20-minute bus ride.
I don't know. I mean, it's still going to creep me out a little bit, but I suppose as long as the doors don't fall off the gondolas, we're doing better, right?
Okay, and that's another thing. You said, when you said you were an adult that still couldn't handle 7 days of walking at Walt Disney World, I did want to bring up that an ECV bumped into a monorail door, and it did fall off. which is a bummer.
So that's actually what happened there is an ECV. Now, did an ECV bump or did an ECV like clock a monorail?
What I heard was that the person was getting on and they hit the door, which
with extreme prejudice.
No, like, right? Like as they were getting on, like maybe their back wheel hit the door. Like the wide part of the ECV hit the door. I don't assume they had a hacked ECV with NOS and they were going 400 miles an hour to get like the good spot on the monorail.
But now so are you talking like the door on the entry side? Or are we talking the door? Because I thought it was the door like opposite them. So like they rammed into a door. Because that would seem a little bit more...
See, I don't know.
Not scary?
I don't, again, like, I also have a baby, so I don't know the exact specifics, but either way, ignoring...
An ECV probably shouldn't take a door off of a monorail.
A monorail door should probably not completely disassociate itself with the monorail because a jazzy scooter bumped into it. Like... There's a problem. There's a real quality problem with the monorails, and it's just getting worse.
Jeremy, they tell you to stand clear of the doors, okay? I mean, they tell you not to lean on the doors. There's a reason for it.
How do you say doors are loosely attached in Spanish? Because that needs to be on a shirt.
Doors are not really attached. Yeah, they...
Liberal I love the use monorails. Of zip ties. I also love the monorails, and that's why this
But they
sucks.
Need help.
Yes.
They need help. They need some TLC.
If the Skyliner proves popular, do you think they just expand that and get rid of the monorail?
Do
you think we end up with an interconnected system of gondolas and no more monorail?
Well, so that was always the plan for the monorail, right? But it was just too expensive and unruly,
right,
to expand it in that.
And form. I would say that putting up towers with wires between them is probably a lot cheaper than building huge concrete tracks for diesel-powered sky trains to run on.
Yeah, see, I don't know, because I'm not in the brains of WDI, but I don't think the monorail is planning to be phased out right now. I don't expect the monorail to expand.
I don't think it's planned to be phased out, but I'm wondering if the Skyliner proves popular, are they going to just not do anything? Like keep the monorails, I should say, in maintenance mode and just wait and just kind of keep the monorails running as they expand the Skyliner to the point where they don't need them anymore. And then you just have the Contemporary Resort with four big old holes in it.
Right. Yeah. So there is that little thing. I mean, that's going to be, I guess you could then have, the monorail ride, right? Just suddenly have the monorail station inside of the Magic
Kingdom.
Yeah,
let's just do what they did with the People Mover in Disneyland and take a thing that's supposed to be nice and slow and make it really fast.
The rocket rail.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and break everything and then just have to close it because it's unsafe and unusable. It's perfect.
Wouldn't that be awesome if you were in the Contemporary and all of a sudden,
Yeah, and the whole building rattles as the monorail shoots by at 50 miles an hour.
Just a little shiver here, a little shiver there, buddy. That's all that it
is. No
takes.
Problem.
I think we've revitalized that. Hey,
rocket rail.
You know what? The Skyliner can maybe get from point A to point B in 5 minutes, but the rocket rail can get there in 60 seconds.
And it's only a little bit deadly.
Does Fox own Fast and the Furious?
I think that's Universal.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's over at that other park.
I think that's a Universal film franchise.
Hey, when they needed Avatar, they just bought it.
True.
Buy Fast and the Furious, and then Rocket Rail sponsored by Fast and the
Furious. It can't be any worse than the stupid Fast and Furious attraction at Universal. Okay.
I'm not going to say anything because I haven't been there myself. So.
Okay, we are so out of time, but because we're just not going to get to this Destination D stuff, I don't think. So let's just go through a few of these things that I thought were interesting.
Just say it, get it out of the way, and then everybody can turn off the podcast and go on about their life.
All I have to say, Brad, is Reflections. A Disney lakeside resort.
That makes me uncomfortable, buddy. That makes me uncomfortable.
Which is the name of the resort that is going in where River Country is now. And it sounds like a millennial old folks home.
Now, are you just saying that Reflections, the name sounds like an old folks home? Or are you saying that the actual plans for the resort sound like an old folks home?
No, the resort sounds awesome. But the name Reflections sounds like a place where, you know, you send grandma when she's not doing too good.
Just so we're clear, nobody. We're not doing that. This is like the mini E-vans. It's now Reflections.
Okay, aside from Reflections, they have announced that in 2019, Epcot Forever, which is a celebration of the music of Epcot. Oh, no. Epcot Forever is a celebration of Epcot and kind of like a retrospective of Epcot. And that's going to be the replacement fireworks show that's replacing Illuminations. And then in 2020, a show that is a celebration of Disney music will be the new fireworks show. So I guess in the interim between when they have the music one done and when Illuminations is over, they're going to have this kind of Epcot Forever retrospective show. So we do know what kind, what, you know, loosely is planned for Epcot nighttime. Runaway Railway is opening fall 2019, which fall starts late September and ends in late December. So I guess it could open Christmas and still technically be fallish.
Fall adjacent.
Oh, yeah. The Millennium Falcon attraction in Galaxy's Edge is called Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. The other attraction is called Rise of the Resistance. They announced a couple of other facts about the Star Wars hotel that I didn't find very interesting. It seemed like they just wanted to hit on that. But one thing
they're just reminding us that it is still going to be a thing, right?
One thing they did say is that you will get transportation from the Star Wars hotel to Galaxy's Edge via a shuttle, which I can only assume the shuttle will not have real windows either. So as you're driving down I-4 or whatever road, you will...
What happens when you're at a red light?
I don't know, man.
What? Is it a space red light?
But I assume that, like, they'll have you sectioned off from the driver so that you can't see, you know, the highway, and there will be some sort of, you know, fake video going on in the windows. I don't know.
Is Elon Musk Tesla's going to fly by? Because it needs to fly by.
They may just have cardboard or a wood on either side of the little road it runs on that's just pictures of space. I have no idea how they're going to do that. This whole, the closer it gets and the more I learn about the Star Wars hotel, I cannot imagine how they're going to do this. I'm really super stoked for it.
Hopefully well.
Yeah,
hopefully
I hope they do it well.
That's how they're going to do it.
And I'm so sorry we're having to just blow through these. The Ratatouille ride in France is called Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, which is kind of repetitive. Like, I feel like Remy's Adventure would be fine. I think that's it. Oh, there's a Beauty and the Beast musical also coming to the France Pavilion. I don't know where they're going to put that, but there's a musical coming to France.
So is this going to be the Beauty and the Beast from Hollywood Studio?
I don't know. Yeah, you know, I guess.
Don't they already have one of those?
Yeah, maybe that's going to be something else.
I think I totally think Remy should go with the Disneyland Paris Remy's Totally Zany Adventure, because
that's a better name.
Super exciting.
Yeah. That's a better name, and it's a pretty cool attraction. I've watched the ride-throughs of that, and it's got the technology that Pooh's Honey Hut uses. Pooh's mm-hmm. Honey Hunt. It's not a hut. It's not a honey hut. It's a honey hunt. and what's the Tower of Terror in Tokyo mm-hmm. also uses the trackless vehicle stuff where they use the Wi-Fi positioning and stuff. So that's a pretty cool attraction. The building for it is apparently visible from everywhere, just like the Guardians of the Galaxy one. So
you mean Mystic Manor, right?
Yes.
In Hong Kong.
No.
Okay. Because I was.
Is that Henry Mystic? Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's right. It's not the.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I don't think that was that tower. So. Okay. Cool.
No, you're right. Just yes. Making sure. I do mean the Mystic Manor. So, more giant buildings in Epcot. I guess what else is new?
Painted blue.
I guess so. Just a
blue everywhere.
A giant blue building.
Dabba dee dabba.
Oh dear. So that was kind of Destination D, a very, very quick run through. But I'm sure anyone who's listening to us talk has already heard all of those things talked about ad nauseum. So I'm not worried about going through those. It's been a couple weeks since that was announced. We're back. Sorry for the unannounced hiatus. And we will, as Brad said at the top of the show, try to do better. That'll do it for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.